have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. This is going to indeed be one of those type of sermons that I will say, come title time, whatever you get from it, just text me later on and let me know what you come up with. Because I struggled all weekend. I still couldn't tell what the Lord was really wanting me to go, but I'm just going to follow him nevertheless. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And I will just read this one verse into our hearing. Above everything, love one another earnestly, because love covers a multitude, my Bible says, over many sins. You might be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't know what to call this. So there again, love. I think that was Sister Davis last time. She gave me a whole list of titles. So if you come up with something, just hand it to me during service next week. But allow me to open up here by saying that any sin you cover, God uncovers. Any sin you uncover, God will cover. The love of God, hear me this morning, does not want you and I to stay in the shape that we are in. Yes, when we come to him, we are one thing. When we come to him, we are, might be a little lost, might be farther away from him than what we ought be. But nevertheless, God's love does not leave us in the same place that he found us. And my brothers and sisters, I think that here that is very interesting. Even that this passage, that God will cover the multitude, that his love covers a multitude of sin, that it is found particularly here in Peter. Because when I was putting this together and just looking at, when I started looking at Pete was... Pete has some problems. Pete has some problems. And I think that he is one that is qualified to say that love can cover a multitude of sins. Because Peter knows what it is to... Thank you, Minister Evans. To mess up. To miss the mark. To not get it right. To sin before God. Peter, I think that the one thing that we can agree with here is that Peter had an anger problem. Because, you know, when they come and they come get ready to come get Jesus, and when the plot was being untold and Judas had betrayed him and he had led them, the soldiers, to come and find Jesus, and they thought that they was just going to put their hands on Jesus any kind of way and then take him on out of the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter let them know that just because I'm saved, I ain't forgot how to use my switchblade. And right when it got serious, Peter pulled his knife out and cut a soldier's ear off. And Jesus says unto him, man, don't trip like that, because it just means that this cup that is set before me was not meant to pass before me. I got to drink from this bitter cup of death. God, and Jesus takes that ear and he puts it back upon that soldier. And he was perfectly fine, but he had an anger problem. Not only does he have an anger problem, but Peter really and truthfully, not only does he have an anger problem, but Peter has an identity problem. Because Pete had... living in what I would say is a false sense of reality. Jesus says unto him, Because remember, let me say that first. Because remember, when we are first introduced to Peter, he's not Peter. He's Simon. But after spending some time with Jesus, he changed his name. And I want to say to somebody this morning that if you have spent any time with the Lord, there ought to be a transformation from the inside to the outside if you spend some kind of time with the Lord. And Peter, my brothers and sisters, Jesus renames him to Peter. And there is a particular passage that Jesus says, Simon, Simon, the devil desires to sift you. He says, but don't worry, don't be scared nor scared, because I have already prayed for you. But the problem with Peter is, and the reason I say he has an identity crisis is because simply at the particular time when Jesus says, don't be afraid because I've already prayed for you, Peter says, well, I ain't afraid because I'm willing to go with you both to prison and to death. And see, what he's doing is he's declaring the solidness of his future, but doesn't understand the diminishing of his present. Peter doesn't understand that he's already failing because he's putting himself in front of God. And God is trying to tell you, God is trying to tell us, God is trying to tell Peter, I don't care how much Peter you say you are, there's still some Simon left on the inside of you now. Because see, Simon means that is unstable, that is wishy-washy, unstable, shifty. But that is Peter, that means rock. And let me tell you something, I don't care how many Bibles you can carry up under your arm. I don't care how much Jesus you say you have. No matter how spiritual or saved you are, there's still some Simon left in all of us. That's truth be told. That's the reason why some of us have a hard time looking back without going back. Because there's still some of the old man left on the inside of us. Peter has an identity problem. But I also would submit and say that Peter is, he's familiar, he has a problem with being familiar with failure. Because we talked about this not too long ago, that Jesus tells them, y'all get into the boat, go over to the other side. Jesus goes into the mountain to pray. And I want to say this because it helps me, it makes me feel better when I say this sometimes. One of the most frustrating things about God is that I know he's up there. I know he's up there. Don't you take my sermon. I know he's sitting up there because my grandmama said, Patrick, he sits high and he's looking low. And so he's sitting up there watching me down here go through whatever I'm going through, struggling, bills, depression, anxiety, cussed out on my job, people don't want to do right, just being persecuted because I want to do the right thing. But he's sitting up there. Don't look like he's doing nothing to help me, but he just... But the way God works, he's sitting up there, and what he waits is, he waits until that thing gets so dark. He waits until that problem gets so heavy. He waits until you have cried all of your tears, and then he says, you gonna try me now? Because you tried your mama, and she didn't work. You tried your daddy, couldn't do it. You tried your wife, you tried your sister, you tried your brother, they failed you. When are you going to wake up and realize all you got to do is just try me? He comes out of that mountain, and he's the very thing they are afraid of. He just come out there walking on it. He come out there walking, he said. And Peter said, is somebody walking on the water? And Peter said, well, who is that out there? And Jesus says, Peter is me. And Pete was crazy enough to say, well, Master, if that's you, bid me to come unto you, because see, I need you to send for me, because if I come on my own, I'm coming on my own ability. But if you send for me, when I start walking, I'm not coming on what I can do. I'm walking on God's word. And see, and I'll tell you today that if you're going to be a water walker, if you're going to have faith and do what cannot be done, you got to learn to walk on God's word. You reading the word up in here on Sunday morning ain't going to help you none. You reading the word, you taking the word only when I'm preaching it, that ain't gonna help you. That ain't gonna help you none. You, when you get home, you got to get off of Facebook. You got to get off of your pleasure, your leisure of pleasures, and you have to find yourself digging into the word of God. And I'll tell you, that's why when the enemy come up against us, he able to take us out, not like a flood. Flood. We had a flood in New Orleans with Katrina. That's a flood. The devil can come in as strong as a bottle of water and knock some of us down. Because we do not spend time developing the spiritual man. We'll go to Planet Fitness for hours. We'll sit in concerts for hours. We'll sit at a football game for hours. We will travel all across the state of Michigan to watch college kids, high school kids play basketball, but won't spend an hour to develop yourself in the word of God. Peter is familiar. He's familiar with failure. I got to go on with that, because Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you. And he does start walking, but you know, like I know, he started walking, but eventually he fails and he starts drowning. And I'm telling somebody this morning, don't allow failure to make you uneasy. Don't allow failure to take you out, to keep you from a place of happiness, or because you didn't get it right the first time. Let me tell you something. If you messed up Saturday, this just... You messed up yesterday. Messed up bad. You did what you know your mom and them told you not to do. And more than that, you know what you was doing wasn't pleasing to your character, you know. You messed up bad. I don't know, you bad, whatever bad is to you. But God woke you up this morning.
That's right, he did.
What are you tripping about? He forgave you for what you was yesterday. And he's not trying to hold that over you now. Because hear me when I tell you, God knew exactly who you were when he called you in the first place. And so I think that based upon the succession of ups and downs that Peter has had in his life, I think that he is qualified there to say that God's love does cover a multitude of sins. But he says, he opens up first, and I only have a couple points here, and then I'll be out of your way. I think the first thing that we should notice is that love is above everything. It's above everything. If you move back up into verse 7 begins to tell us that that we should be sober-minded, that we should be clear-minded, that we all pray. But then he comes back in verse 8, he says, but even above those things, it is more important that you love one another. It's important that God knows that you care about each other just as much as he cares about you. It's important that even though we should be sober-minded, even though we should be clear-minded, if we are in love with Christ, us being in love with Christ will keep us sober-minded, will keep us clear-minded, because when you are in love with Christ, it breaks your heart to break his heart. And see, we know what it feels like to let our friends down, to let our parents down, let our spouse down, children down, co-workers down. But the real question of the hour is, how do you feel when you let God down? How is it that you are able to eat? How is it that you are able to sleep and just go about your usual avocations when you know that you are not just doing something to disappoint God, but you know that you're living a life that disappoints God? And there are some times that we can think that simply because we have given the preacher our hand and joined the church that we are acting in the way of love. But allow me to tell you, it's a whole lot of people when the roll is called, they're going to think that because they have church membership that they are getting in, and they will be sadly mistaken that they are going to bust the walls of hell wide open. Because there are a lot of times that we can misconfuse spirituality with just religion. And so the question is, how do you feel this morning? And I won't try to bring any resolve to that, because I want you to bring resolve to it for yourself. How do you feel when you have broken God's heart? How you gonna drink your coffee with that in the morning? And hear me, though we all have been in a space and in a place where we have broken the heart of God, I would have rather have done that in the hand of God than anywhere else. Because at least, much like clay, if I'm marred, at least I'm marred in the master's hands. And at least if I'm falling, I'm falling in the master's hands. Second thing I want to tell you here is that love covers sin. He says that a multitude of love, it covers sins. And I was so glad that this kind of came together the way it was coming together. I need your help, Mr. Gaines. Bring one of them chairs over here, because I was trying to do this on New Year's Eve and it didn't work. So I had to go get my stuff. That's a good chair. It ain't gonna move nowhere. It covers a multitude of sins. I know for myself that even though my mom and my father, they were married when they conceived me, that I'm still a sinner. I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. And I was a sinner for the same fact that you were a sinner. Because the first Adam came into the world and, you know, his wife Eve presented him of the fruit. He ate the fruit. Their eyes, I know the scripture, their eyes were closed, but they were. At first they could see like God, but now they can't see. Now they can't see like God now. And it is because of the second Adam that I am now got a right to the tree of life. Now, because of the first Adam, I still got that stain on my soul. Now, the second Adam didn't remove that stain from my soul. What he did was he gave me access to the type of machinery that I was going to need to wash my soul. But the stain is still there. And so quite naturally, when I see myself, I know quite naturally that Patrick is a liar. Cheater, I'm a doubter, I can be a naysayer, I can get messy sometimes, loveless, I can get selfish, and sometimes, if the right pressure is applied, unbelief can appear in my life. Now, don't you look at me like that. Don't look at me like that, because if I come down there and you start writing your stuff, I'm sure you're going to, it's going to be stuff you ain't going to want nobody to
know.
But see, though we all sinners, though we all messed up, all of us have sinned, there is a way that we see ourselves. And a lot of times we see ourselves in the reflection, and we just see ourselves. We see the liar, the doubter, the naysayer, selfish person, the unbeliever. But I say again to you, Macedonia, that you have to not see yourself as the reflection, but you got to see yourself as the reflection of God. You have to see yourself how God sees you. He sees you. He don't see no liar. When he see you, he don't see no cheater. You don't see no naysayer. You don't see no doubter. You don't see no liar. You don't see no unbeliever. He don't see none of that. Because when he see you, he see you through the blood that's been on Calvary. And so you tripping with God because of what you used to be, because of what you used to do. What you used to smoke, what you used to drink, where you used to lay, where you used to get up from. And see, the reason why God ain't tripping with you, because he can't see none of that stuff. He can't see. He can't see none of your doubt. He can't see none of your unbelief. He can't see none of your lies. Because now all he sees you is through the blood of Jesus Christ that's been shed on Calvary's cross. So stop holding yourself up by what you used to do and what you used to say and how you used to live and talking about, I ain't done sinning. Hear me today. God sees you just under the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you leave this church talking about what I used to be. What I used to do. What used to hold me captive. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the old things have been passed away, and behold, all things are made new in him. Yeah, I was lost. Walked around like I didn't know what was going on. But today he sees you. Now this kind of revelation power here, you go home and keep living the same old way, it ain't my fault, it's your fault. Because I'm telling you, there is not a sin nasty enough. And see, I'm going to tell you something. Child, if they put some of my sin up on this screen right now, I'd have to crawl up out of this church. But God. He sees me. Blood of Jesus Christ. And there's some of y'all in here, when you get to the family reunion, you see some of your folk for who they are, and you need to start viewing them the same way he view you. Because you can't look at them for what they was when you know that's exactly what you used to be. He sees us through the blood. His love covers a multitude of our sins. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. But it ain't nothing you can do to make him love you less. And I know that there are some of us in here today that have to say, look at real, I hear everything you're saying. But Doc, there's some stuff in my closet that I ain't never shared with nobody. It's some stuff in my algorithm that I just ain't shared with nobody. And let me tell you this, even though you have not shared it, you don't think he knows already? Because there go there again. He sits high. And he always looking low. There is nothing that, and I close with this. I remember me and some friends of mine, we were hanging out one night, and I think I may have shared this before. And we were hanging out one night, and I told him, I said, my goodness. I said, man, close that Bible, man. Put that Bible up, because we was having a good time. We was having a good time. I said, man, put that Bible up. And he said, Sandy, whether the Bible is put up or not, you do know he's still going to see us one way or the other. And hear me this morning. There is nothing that you got going on in your life that the Savior don't know about. Not only is there nothing that he don't know, there ain't nothing that he ain't willing to save you from. Because over 2,000 years ago, they hung him on a cross. Hung him up on a cross and put him in that tomb. He gets up. And now, since that action, when he sees us now, he don't see Patrick. He don't see little Pat. He don't see the foolishness. He sees me as the blood of Jesus. And so then we have to start acting like what he's seeing. That's where the transformation comes in, brothers and sisters. That you cannot stay the way you used to be. There has to be a transformation. And I'm talking about more than I just looked at my feet and they look new. I looked at my hands and they did too. I want God to change the way I walk, change the way I talk, change the way I live my life, change my level of dependence upon him. Because every time you do anything, you ought to be saying, God, I tell you, thank you for giving me the strength to do it. I don't do it as much as I used to. But I remember one point in my life, every time I would get out of my truck, I would say, God, thank you for letting me use your truck. Because I know I got it. I know I paid the note for it. I know I'm going to pay the insurance for it. But the fact of the matter is, I wouldn't have it if you wouldn't have gave it to me. So I close here. Stop tripping about what you used to be. Because if you're looking, you can't even see. You can't even see what I used to be. You can't see it. And I know it was on there because I wrote it before I came out here to church. But you can't see what I used to be because I'm covered with the blood. And can't nobody hold you captive. Can't nobody hold you in bondage by your past or nothing that you have said or nothing that you have done. Yeah, you did it. You had it. So what? At the end of the day, now God sees me as the righteousness of God. And so that, and so I close. I'm done. I'm through. Because there might be somebody in the church today that you think you can't get it right. And what I'm trying to tell you is, he already got you covered. So doors of church open. There might be someone here today does not know the Lord Jesus Christ